Good morning. Hope you're awake now. I am. My goodness. Oh, it's so good to be with you this morning. It was so great to wake up this morning and have blue sky and sunshine, and the foothills were green this morning. I'm so used to long weekends in May being white and cold and miserable. And for years, I attended a youth conference in Edmonton started by New Creation Ministry. It's always a long weekend in May, and we either drove up to Edmonton in the bus in a snowstorm or we came back in a snowstorm, so we just kind of expected this time of year. It's a crazy time of year. Still a little bit of white snow up on the mountains, but it was great to get up this morning and drive out of my driveway and head in. And I drove around twice town just to have a longer drive to kind of get ready for church this morning. Don't always have that time. But early service, it was great. My family and I got to worship together for the first time in a long time, so we were just blessed by that this morning. And I want to thank the elders and Art for the invitation to come in and be able to speak this weekend. And this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about gardening because it's that time of the year. And now that the May long weekend is here, we're going to get close to that chance to put stuff together. A couple of scriptures I want to read to start with. First, I want to read from Psalm 15. This is a Psalm of David. It says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth in his heart and has no slander in his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts out no slur on his fellow man. He who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. You who does these things will never be shaken." It's a pretty tough list to live up to. And this morning I want to share from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Couple sections beginning at verse 1. And as we read the gospel this morning, I invite you to stand as we read Jesus' words today. So please stand. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown.' Jesus says, 'To he who has ears, let him hear.'" Then on to verse 18. "Listen to what the parable of the sower means," Jesus said to his disciples. "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you that we can gather as your people in your name to worship you. Thank you that we have heard your truth spoken in word and sung in song today, and we pray that you would be with us as we listen to your word this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and hearts that are open to your leading and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Gerald had mentioned that the early service got out a little bit earlier, and there's some time to have some coffee and some fellowship. And I just want to preface that by saying that I've noticed Sunday after Sunday that the Nazarenes beat Baptist to our restaurant for lunch. So I want to give you a bit of a head start today. That's really what it's about. It's true. It really is. The Nazarenes are always there first. They get the good tables. I am so happy to be with you this morning, and it's a treat for me to have a chance to share from God's Word and to preach. And in my past life, this was always one of my favorite things to do, is to be able to share God's Word. And Now in the life that I live, it's just a treat to have a chance to square out some hours in an evening and spend yesterday, Saturday, just digging into God's Word. And I know this might sound selfish, but this is as much for me as it is for you. God does amazing things in my world when I have a chance to dig deep and study. And I just hope that you find some blessings in the messages that are shared this morning. A couple weeks ago, Dar and I started to work in our yard. We built a house this last year. Some of my neighbors are here, and they know it's been a mess. And it's a big bunch of dirt right now. And we don't like it a whole lot because Darlene and I love our garden. When we were in the city, we spent a lot of time puttering in the garden. And Dar's the one with the gift for plants and making things grow. There's a really important reason why I didn't become a farmer like my dad. Silk plants wilt in my presence. So farming wasn't really an occupational option for me. But I love to spend time in our garden and our backyard. And so we are looking forward to finally getting ours to a place where we can spend some time out there. And this year will probably be flower boxes and pots on the deck. And next year maybe get some grass and stuff like that. But a couple weeks ago, we opened our box of 180 caraganas and started to plant them around the perimeter of our yard. And while I did that, I had on my headphones and was working away and watering and stuff and praying about what God would have me share this weekend with you. And God kept bringing me to the parable of the sower from Matthew 13 that we heard about. And I like and I dislike this parable. I like this parable because it makes sense to me. I dislike it because Jesus chose to interpret it for the disciples. And it's one of the few parables I really get. I wish he had interpreted some of the other ones because that would have been a lot more helpful to me. But one of the things that I thought of as I wrestled with the scripture was, I think the reason why Jesus took the time to explain a very simple parable to the disciples and to you and I is because the message is really important and very relevant for all of us. The other thing that made this parable stand out is this is one of only seven parables that all three synoptic gospel writers mention in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And my New Testament professor told me 25 years ago, if God mentions it more than once in Scripture, it's probably pretty important and we should take notice. So this is a good message for all of us. And it's a message and it's a parable that really speaks to me and to my life and my walk with Christ. And I hope you find some encouragement as we dig into it today. So in the parable, Jesus talks about four kinds of soil. He talks about seed that is scattered by the sower, and some of it falls on the path and snatched up by the birds. Some of it falls into shallow soil, and it sprouts very quickly, but the sun comes and withers it. Some falls into soil that's full of weeds, and some of it falls into good soil, and it grows and it bears good fruit. It goes on to explain that the seed is God's word, and that seed falls in all kinds of places, and all kinds of things happen to it. And the first seed, he says, the birds that snatch the seed that follows along the path is like the man who hears the word and doesn't understand it, and the enemy comes, the devil comes and snatches that joy from him right away. So the first thing that stuck out for me as I listened to the parable and I read Jesus' words is the reality that there's a battle going on. And I think a lot of us kind of sit in a place where we don't think about it that much, but there is an enemy of your soul and of my soul that's out there to steal our joy and to prevent us from being the kind of people God wants us to be. The devil is real. He is an enemy of God and an enemy of God's people. And the fact that you're sitting here this morning doesn't make him very happy. You become targets. I think sometimes we tend to ignore the reality that there is a spiritual warfare. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on outside of this physical world that affects eternity. You and I are the enemies of the enemy because we are children of God. And he would love nothing more than to make us ineffective and keep us from bearing fruit. He would love nothing more than to steal our joy. So the first message in the parable is to be warned that you are a target and there's an enemy that's there to steal your joy and to prevent you from being effective in your life as a child of God. First thing to remember. The second point is the seed that fell on shallow soil that quickly sprouted up, but the sun came and withered it up and it bore no fruit. And one of the things that sticks out for me in this is there have been times in my life and there are elements of all of these soils that I've experienced in my life as a Christian, and I think you probably have too. There have been times when I've been to a great worship service or I've been to a conference, and I kind of feel like that. I'm inspired by the speaker, and I come out, and I'm all pumped up. I'm excited. But then I get back to the real world on Monday or Tuesday, and that joy can quickly fade. And you know what? I've had commentators that said, you know, these first two are talking about people who are not followers of Christ. But you know what? I think this sometimes happens to us as God people too. We go to church on a Sunday morning and we sing great songs of worship and a pastor speaks an inspired message and God speaks to us and touches our hearts. But we can get in the car and we can have an argument on our way home trying to decide where we're going to eat, or the kids start yelling at each other, or just life kind of comes in place and that joy gets stolen quite away and the wind comes out of our sails awfully quickly. Jesus is warning us about that here. He says, you got to be careful. When you hear the word and you receive it with excitement, let God let it grow in your heart so it bears good fruit. Don't let everything else come in and take it away. And I shared with the early service this morning that back in the days when I was in full-time ministry, I found it was really easy to remember the messages that I heard on Sunday mornings. Sometimes because some of the churches I served at had two or three services, so I got to hear it lots, which helps. But I was also involved with the worship planning process, so I was probably making PowerPoint slides, or I was creating graphics, or we were working on picking music. So the Sunday morning message wasn't just the 20 or 40 minutes that the pastor was preaching. For me, it was several days and several hours of my life. It was pretty easy to remember it on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I'll be really honest with you and tell you that sometimes by Monday or Tuesday, when I have the chance to make it to church, the pastor's message is already getting foggy in my mind and in my heart. Again, the enemy loves nothing better than to have that message get foggy on us and not be able to take root and take effect. So that's something else that can happen for us is we get very enthusiastic, but quickly the wind can come out of our sails. Because we have no roots. We need to work to let those roots grow, and they need to grow deep. And the reality is it takes time for that to happen. For us to become mature Christians is something that takes years and years and years and years, and it has to happen. But we still have to make sure that God lets those roots grow deep. I remember last winter we had some windstorms and we had some magnificent trees that were around town that aren't here anymore. And they were trees that were big when I was a little kid, but they're no more. But when the wind blew them over this winter, something that was really obvious about all of them is they all were majestic and they all looked great, but they had no roots. And the wind came and blew them over, and when you saw the root balls, there really wasn't much there holding them up. That can happen for us as Christians. We got to have those roots that let us grow deep. And I think the challenge for us in the Western church is that we don't have enough go on in our world that lets our roots and our trust in Jesus go deep and deep and deep to hold us in those times of persecution and those times of trial. The third kind of soil is soil that's full of weeds. I grew up on a farm with a dad who hates weeds. He's retired, but he drives by a field full of weeds and he still twitches. He hates it. Our lives are like that. Jesus says our lives can be like that, that we can grow and our faith is growing, but it can quickly be choked out by the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. And that's the reality for all of us at some point, I think, is the challenges of day-to-day living can interfere with the joy that God wants us to experience as His people. You know, it's true in my life. This is probably the place where I wrestle the most in my own walk with Christ. The desire to run a good business and provide for my family, desire to be a great dad and a wonderful husband, to be a good friend, to be a faithful servant. Those things can all step in the way and get in the way of me being the type of man that God wants me to be. It can choke me out. Darlene and I are grateful for the business that we have, but it has challenges for us. And there are days that Dar will tell you, the worries of this life really choke me up and it's a struggle for me. And it interferes with that joy that God wants me to have. And then the fourth soil is the good soil, the soil that we all wish we could be, the kind of soil that causes plants to grow deep roots and to grow and to bear fruit 20, 30, 60, 100 times more than what was sown. That's the type of people we all want to be. As I wrestled through the scriptures and I read it again and again and again, it became really evident for me is that I'd love to be this good soil. I really desire that in my life, to be this good soil for God to be able to plant and grow and bear good fruit in my life. But I also realized as I read it that there are days when my heart is the rocky soil. And there are days that my heart is the weed-filled soil. And there are even days when my heart is just the path where God plants the seed, but it just kind of sits on top and the enemy very easily can snatch my joy away. That's been the reality for me as I've grown in my faith. But something else became really evident for me as I read through the scriptures. Every study Bible I pulled out and I was reading my different versions, every one of them called this the parable of the sower. And I was reading it going, well, Maybe it should be called the parable of the seed or the parable of the soil, because that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. But the more I read about it, the more I realized that calling it the parable of the soil of the sower is really the appropriate title. Because as I read all this, and as I reflected on my own walk with Christ, the important person is the sower. It's God who shares the seed. And it's God who is able to till the soil. And it's God that's able to take the path and make it a good place to grow. And it's God who's able to take the shallow soil and make it fertile. And it's God who's able to work in amongst the weeds and to make plants that grow and bear good fruit. And it's really God who's the one that makes our hearts that good soil for His Word to grow in. So calling it the parable of the soil of the sower, I think, is the appropriate thing. And in God's Word, God tells us there's a remedy for all of these things. When it comes to thinking about the enemy, we don't stand alone. We have victory in Christ. Jesus said on the cross 2,000 years ago as He died, "It's finished." Jesus has already won and defeated the enemy. And we can stand firm in the knowledge that we stand in the grace and the mercy of Christ, and we stand against the enemy, and that the enemy is already defeated. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. So when you find you come to those points where the enemy's trying to steal your joy, stand firm. Stand in Jesus. Satan has no choice but to run in fear because he knows he's already defeated. It's one thing that makes him so angry is he knows he's beaten. When we talk about the type of soil that lets our roots grow deep, those roots grow deep in the face of adversity, in the face of persecution. And I think that's a challenge for the Western church, is we've got it pretty good over here. This spring, I pulled out a book I read years ago when Chuck Colson passed away. One of my favorite books, and it's a transforming book for me, is called The Body. And he updated it after 9/11 and called it Being the Body. And one of the reasons it was such a great book for me to read is it told the stories of the persecuted church. Not what was happening in North America, but it talked about what was happening behind the Iron Curtain, what was happening in Eastern Europe, and how God raised a faithful church up to stand against communism, and through their faithfulness and God's work in the midst of that, an amazing thing happened in terms of the transformation of Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. The presence of God is what helps define us and helps us to grow deep. It's not the absence of diversity. And I think if we all got to that place where we embraced adversity and the challenges of life and let God's grace run deep in our hearts, that's when those roots take hold for us. The third soil, and this is the one that I really wrestle with. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth are the weeds that choke up our joy. And I went back and I read Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let today's troubles be enough for tomorrow, because who can add a day to their life by worrying about it? In fact, I think studies are showing us that we actually take days off our life when we worry. Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. They don't toil, they don't sweat, yet God feeds them. God took care of them. It's an amazing thing what God does. Are we not worth more than the flowers of the field and the birds of the air? God looks after us. The note I wrote in my margin next to that was simply, find fulfillment in my Savior. As I struggle with all the things that I need to do day after day after day, I need to realize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, my Creator, my God. He loved me enough to send His Son from heaven to die on a cross in my place. Certainly He can help me look after the day-to-day things in my world. He can work in my heart to make me the type of man He desires me to be, so that I'm a good dad and I'm a good husband, I'm a good boss, I'm a faithful servant. It really is about what God can do in us. And you know, it really is about what God can do with all those types of soil to transform them and make them into that fertile soil where good things grow. Because the reality is, we all are either the pathway or the shallow soil or we're choked up with weeds. That's who we all are. But God is an amazing gardener. God is faithful. And God is the one that works to till the soil and give us the type of life that He can work in and bear good fruit. And it's best to leave Him to do that stuff anyways. As a kid, my dad used to send me out to weed the trees. My dad loves trees. Anybody that's been out to my parents' farm knows my dad loves trees. I was a stupid kid, and I really didn't know the difference between a tree and a weed, because they were often pretty small and pretty similar. And there are lots of times that I would weed the trees. not on purpose, but just because I didn't know any better. In my life as a child of God, my world is the same. I want to leave those weeds in God's hands and let God be the one who decides when He needs to pull and when He needs to pull. See, it's called the parable of the sower because the sower is the one who's faithful. The sower is the one who is wise. The sower is the one who's in charge of the garden. And we need to leave those things in His hands and let Him work in us. We just need to say, God, I'm the dirt that you need to use to work in. And I'm willing to be that. So please do what we need to do. Because the other thing that I've learned in the last couple years of being a homeowner and then the last 27 years of being a follower of Christ is there's always going to be pathways. There's always going to be shallow soil. And there's certainly always going to be weeds. But God is also always going to be faithful in that and look after us. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for an amazing love that Dale sang about, that from before time even began, looked forward to this space and this time, and looked at every one of us and treasured us. I want to thank you for your unfailing love that comes and works in the fields of our hearts to make us vessels of change in this world. But Jesus, we can't do it without you. As much as we desire to do the right things and do the good things, it's only by your Spirit that you work in us that causes us to grow and bear good fruit. And so, Lord Jesus, on behalf of each and every one of us here this morning, on behalf of your people around the world, I pray that you would work and till the soil of our hearts, that you would make our hearts the type of place where when you plant your seed, the roots would grow deep and we would stand firm in the face of adversity, that we would be bold in the face of persecution. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as the weeds of this world seek to grow and choke us out, we pray that you would help us to grow strong in that and trust you to deal with the weeds as the gardener. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we truly would lead the kind of lives that would let you work in us and bear good fruit, 30, 60, 100 times better than what was sown. Be with us as we move out from this place and as we move into the days and weeks ahead, as we plant our fields, as we plant our gardens. Just as you use parables as very tangible ways to teach us eternal truths, I pray, Lord, that as we're toiling in our gardens and in our fields, that we would be reminded of your faithfulness and your desire to grow good things in us that will transform this world, not just for a season, but for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.